This is Digital Story Podcast number 733, April 7th, 2020. Today's theme is Flashback. Tom Hogarty talks Lightroom 3 at PhotoPlus Expo 2009. I'm Derek Story. Jacob Javits Center has been the home for PhotoPlus Expo as long as I can remember. It's a convention center filled with fond memories for me. Right now, it's serving as a makeshift hospital for COVID-19 patients. But a decade ago, I interviewed Tom Hogarty there, talking about the public beta for Lightroom 3. It's an interesting conversation for many reasons, and it's the feature story for today's TDS Photography Podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. So we're going to step back now to October of 2009. Yes, I'm getting nostalgic already for those days where we all could cram into a building and share ideas and look at gear and all that good stuff. Back in 2009, I sat down with Tom at a table in the dining area of Javits. Now, for those of you that have been to the convention center, you know that the dining area is downstairs. It's actually in the basement. So you go down into the basement to look for food. And in case you don't know who Tom is, he's the senior director of product management for all things photography at Adobe. At the time, he was the Lightroom product manager, and a very good one at that. I mean, Tom had a lot to do with championing Lightroom. He was a good spokesperson for it. He ran a pretty tight ship, and he's a pretty nice guy, as you'll hear from the conversation that we're going to have right now. Now, we hadn't scheduled this interview. It was pretty interesting. I saw him at the show and asked him if he would chat with me because the Lightroom 3 public beta was out and Adobe seemed pretty excited about this version of Lightroom, and he cheerfully agreed, and I thought it was great. Now, going back to 2009, just to set the stage for a moment, it was quite a time in the world of photography. You know, headliners at this particular event was the Canon 1D Mark IV and the Nikon D3S. Lightroom and Aperture were battling it out on the software front, and I was working in the low pro booth. That just gives you an idea of how different my world was a decade ago. I was actually working for low pro at the time, and I was there at the show for them, doing product demos in the booth, helping out customers, answering their questions, you know, all that good stuff. Now, as I mentioned earlier, Adobe seemed very excited about the upcoming release of Lightroom 3. I think you'll hear it in Tom's voice as we talk. Those of you that use Lightroom, I think it will be interesting for you to hear the new features that he discusses, the enthusiasm he talks about, its performance, you know, all that good stuff. And then also just in the context of where we were a decade ago and how the world looked at that time. So without any further yammering by me, let's go back in time to New York and sit down with Tom Hogarty and talk about the public beta for Lightroom 3. Tom, this is a pretty exciting week for you guys.
Very exciting. We always love coming to the PhotoPlus Expo, and it's great to be able to share the news about Lightroom Beta 3.
I think the great thing about PhotoPlus is there are so many good photographers here. I mean, people that are right in the sweet spot that can really appreciate what Lightroom is bringing to the table right now.
Absolutely. I kind of cut my teeth in the industry working in New York with all the professional photographers, and I love coming back and seeing what they're up to and how styles have changed and how people are changing photography.
So I want to talk about Beta 3 because this is definitely the news right now. And I have some, you know, we're going to talk about a few inside things. But before we get to that, we should probably just give people the usual sort of beta caveats, you know, just so they go into testing Beta 3 in the right frame of mind.
Definitely. What we've done with this beta is we actually changed it a little bit relative to the beta for Lightroom 2. And we're releasing it earlier than we have in the past because we want to make sure that we have time to incorporate feedback. So it's a little bit rough around the edges. I'm not going to lie. So if you're working with it, we want you to test with it and use use it and give us feedback, but I wouldn't use it as your primary workflow at this point. Just go ahead and work on a copy of your images during the beta period.
Well, and that's the exciting thing, too, because, I mean, the neat thing about it is that everyone that uses it and gives feedback, and so you're actually helping to shape this application for its final release.
We actually did a few things before we released the public beta to react to feedback. We've been compiling a long list of things that photographers have been looking for in the application, and we went through that list and said, you know what? What can we crank out in a day or less? Photoshop team has talked about this before. They call it a Just Do It item, or a JDI. So what we did is we found all these JDIs that we were like, okay, we can knock these out in a day or less. And we ended up with about 35 of them in the Lightroom 3 beta. Things like changing the background color of the print module to black instead of white, adding collections to the develop module, little things like cleaning up the aspect ratio and the crop tool, cleaning up the develop panel and the adjustment brush. So little things that took less than a day, but I think will have a big impact for our customers.
I think that's what's interesting about them. They're little things in terms of, you know, maybe product development, you can do them fairly quickly. But in terms of user experience, some of these things are tremendous. I mean, for instance, I was telling you earlier that one of my favorite things is having collections available to us in the develop module. That little thing has a huge impact on easing the workflow.
Yeah, I have to agree. Another little thing, my personal favorite, is I often hide my panels when I'm in the library view, and I'll just go ahead and mouse over to scroll the grid down to look at a different set of images, and I find that right-hand panel will flip out on me. I've heard a number of photographers talk about this. So we actually changed the behavior over there to make it a little bit more forgiving. So if you're reaching for that scroll bar, we're not going to come out right away. We're gonna give you a second, make sure you want the panel to reappear versus you want to scroll the grid. And it's little nuances like that, I think, that will help our customers.
That's great stuff. And actually, you gave me a nice segue. One of the things I wanted to ask you is, I mean, you're a product manager. You know this thing inside and out, but you must have some favorite features, some things that, you know, you personally are, you know, where you say to yourself, I am so glad we were able to, you know, get this in version 3. Can you share a few of those?
Yes, I can. And I try not to influence the development cycle with my own personal favorite things, but one topic that I think has come up for me in the last year or two is the presentation of images in a video format. I've seen some stellar slideshows from really great photographers, and the one common theme is that they're all in this really graceful video format with music attached to it. So the slideshow export, I'm going to be using a ton, because we'll just go direct to H.264. I'll be able to put these things on my iPhone, upload them to my video storage site. So that, I think, will make a big impression for my own photography. The other thing is just performance. I never like to see that little loading bezel as I scroll from image to image. I want to see my image. And so the fact that I almost never see that anymore, except right after initial import, makes me very happy.
Those are two great ones. I have to second, especially the slideshow thing. I'm very excited about that. And I think it's a great way for photographers to bring out their artistic side, in the sense that they think about a collection of images, how they flow from one to another. Putting music, I mean, I think it forces us to really look at our pictures, and then to be able to share that so easily is fabulous. So can we talk about raw processing a little bit? Because this is an area that personally excites me about this version. And version being kind of a key word in that we have how raw processing happened up through version 2, and now we have version 3. Raw processing and then the ability to kind of see both.
Right, so this is a huge shift for us. This is the first time since the Camera Raw plugin was introduced in 2003 with Photoshop 7. So the raw processing technology at Adobe has some history behind it. And in this release, it's the first time we've actually had to say, you know what, our fundamental processing is so different and so new that the default appearance of your images are going to change just by moving to these new algorithms and new technology. So we actually had to version the raw processing. And for the public beta, we're calling it Process Version 1. That's the legacy processing. And we'll keep your images in those algorithms if you've worked on an image before. But the new one is called Process Version 2. And so what you can do in the develop module is go between the two and see the differences. One of the great quotes I heard this week from a photographer is he had done this portrait with a beautiful 70-200 f/2.8 lens, and it looked good. He was happy with it. But when he applied the new processing to it and did some of the new sharpening that's available in the Lightroom 3 beta, he said it was like going from a 72 to 200 2.8 lens to a, you know, one of the 200 f2 lenses from Canon. He's like, it was worth $1,000 of glass just to have that new processing. And to me, that, you know, when we can provide that kind of value, that's a big deal.
So now, when do you have any advice for people as they, you know, as they explore this, if they bring in, well, first of all, how are they going to bring in their version 2 stuff? Do we have any kind of recommendations for workflow as they're, you know, setting up their beta library so that they can really look at this and compare?
That's a good question, Derek. The Lightroom 3 beta actually won't import your Lightroom 2 catalog or your Lightroom 1 catalog if you're still back then. But what I recommend and what I do for my photography is if I have a new shoot and I'm doing a new project, I'll go ahead and bring those images in, do my usual workflow, and see how it affects my day-to-day. I'll then go ahead and dig back into my older library and say, you know what images do I want to see if I can tweak it a little bit? So the color noise reduction improvements have caused me to go back into my bigger archive library and say, let me filter by ISO 1600 and above and take a look at these images and see if I can bring those into the new version and see what I can do with them.
And how hard is it to switch back and forth between, you know, the version A and the version B on the raw processing?
It's really easy. There's a menu item in the develop module that will let you toggle back and forth. And of course, the before and after view in the develop module will afford you the ability to see them side by side, which I think is really powerful.
Now, you touched on sharpening and noise reduction. From what I've seen, you know, from your demos and so forth, we're talking about a whole nother level of quality.
Yeah, we went back to the drawing boards for our raw processing for Lightroom 3. You know, we want customers to feel comfortable knowing that our processing technology is the best in the industry and not have to worry about it. There's this category of looking at your images called pixel peeping. I love that phrase. I want folks to know that if they do go down to that detail level, they're going to get the best results and that they don't need to worry about it on an image-by-image basis. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, when you make that final print, when you make that final TIFF file and hand it off to Photoshop, you're going to get the best possible quality out of Lightroom.
The sharpening and the noise reduction, are they still works in progress? I mean, you know, when people are looking at Beta 3, where along the scale of refinement are they seeing?
So that's another good question. The sharpening is pretty far along and looking quite good from my perspective. The noise reduction, we're halfway there. There's two aspects to noise reduction. There's color noise reduction and there's luminance noise reduction. And so for this beta release, we've only been able to implement the color noise reduction. We're still working on luminance, but we've gone ahead and disabled it in the current build so we could get focus feedback on the color noise reduction. So that's a little bit less further along, but we're still looking for feedback in both areas.
One other thing I want to talk about is just for a minute is printing. Printing is something that I have been encouraging folks to do because I feel like you experience your photograph at a whole nother level when you see it on quality paper out of the quality inkjet printer. Any changes that we should know about in the print module, which has already been pretty good up until this point?
I completely agree with your point about printing. I think until you see that image printed beautifully and hanging on a wall, it's really tough to call it a finished image. So in this version, we added one more step to the flexibility in the print module, and that's the ability to take a single page or multiple pages and lay out images, different images, in any format, any size, overlapping, underlapping, that you want. Now, two scenarios that addresses for photographers. For my own personal workflow, I tend to work with large format 13x19 paper, but occasionally I just need to crank out a bunch of 4x6s of different images. So I can go ahead and drag three 4x6s, maybe a 5x7 or two on a single piece of paper and get many different images printed in just one pass. So that saves me time and it saves paper and ink too. The other side is just doing a creative layout, just looking over photographers' shoulders and watching them use the flexibility in the new print layout. I can see, you know, really interesting designs, really interesting layouts that create a kind of a compelling story for your images on a page or two.
Yeah, I like it for portraits also. I think it's really nice when you've had a really great portrait shoot and you're showing a lot of different facets of the person and to kind of arrange that on a sheet of paper and then just sit back and look at it or share it with a person. It's nice instead of kind of flipping through different images.
Definitely. It's great to see images in context with each other, and you can play with the size of the image and how it fits in relation to the others to kind of create that context.
So the print engine itself is pretty much what we've been using all along?
Yes, absolutely. It's the same print technology we've had in the past, so it's gives you ability to use 16-bit printing with printers capable of 16-bit output. It also includes the sharpening we added in Lightroom 2, which is some really powerful output sharpening. And of course, if you want to print a JPEG, you can take all of that and send it to your lab and use all the layout functionality in Lightroom, but take advantage of a third-party lab.
So this beta you can download right now from the Adobe Lab site. I'll put a link in the show notes. You have a feel for about how long this is going to go? Are you guys just going to see how it goes?
That's a great question. We were very firm in the last public beta. We're just going to do one, and so we wanted people to evaluate it because we're going to be shipping it relatively soon. For the very first public beta for Lightroom 1, we did 4 iterations over the course of 13 months, so we're not sure. We're somewhere between those two areas. We haven't ruled out releasing another beta to get more feedback on some additional features, because we're certainly not done with our feature development. But we also do want to ship the product, because we know photographers are waiting for the new version. So I've committed to 2010 as our release year, and that's it.
I like it. Well, Tom, I mean, this is great stuff. It's just fun to watch this application get refined and come into its own. Thanks so much for sitting down for a few minutes here in New York City. I think it's going to rain later tonight. So
thanks, Derek. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks a lot, Tom, and really enjoyed hearing what you had to say about Lightroom 3. And when I get home and have a chance to work at my big computer, I'm going to download it and actually process some of the raw files that I shot here in the city that I already have loaded into Lightroom 2. I'm going to process them in Lightroom 3 and take a look at the differences myself. So that'll be a lot of fun. Well, I guess I should thank Tom again for his time a decade later. Tom is still at it. I actually saw him at Photo Plus Expo last year, I believe. And he's a family man now, and he takes a lot of pictures of his kids. And from everything that I can tell, he still looks like a great guy. I hope you enjoyed going back to 2009 and chatting with Tom. Do you have a film camera that needs a good home? If you do, I'm your guy, right? First of all, I want to thank, before I forget, William Risky, who just sent me a box, and it has some great Minolta gear in it, the old chrome Minolta SLR. And thanks so much, Bill, for going to the trouble. I'm going to get it all cleaned up and working and back out into the world. If you have something that you're not using that you think would be appropriate for the film camera shop, all you have to do is go to thenimblephotographer.com, use the contact form there, and let me know what you have, and we'll set it up so that you can get it over to me. And a huge thanks to everyone who has contributed lately. Like I said, we've had some great donations lately. Then they go out, and then I get notes from people that have bought the restored cameras, and they're happy. It's really just a wonderful win-win situation. And so much of it is made possible through the donations of our photography community. And thanks so much. Kenny Rogers, the photographer. And you can read this entire story and see a lot of the pictures on F-Stopper. So I have the link in the show notes. I talked about this on Facebook not too long ago. Kenny Rogers recently passed away. And a lot of folks didn't realize how good of a photographer he is. And I mean, a really good photographer. I just want to read you a couple paragraphs from the story because, you know, I'm really impressed with the work that he did. Here's what they said on F-Stoppers. If you have an ear for music or you're tuned into pop culture, you're likely aware that Kenny Rogers passed away recently. Did you know that he was also an avid photographer? Did you know that Rogers was inducted into the International Photography Hall of Fame Museum? Yeah, he was. Rogers studied photography with folks such as John Sexton, you know, the lauded landscape photographer who was once Ansel Adams' assistant. I mean, he really rubbed elbows with some great photographers, and deservedly so. He was excellent. And if you look at his images, you will be very impressed. And if you just know him from his music, you'll go, my gosh, that guy is really good. I mean, really good. Here's a quote from Rogers that I think sums things up well. He says, I think art, if you're capable of one art, you understand, you know, the difference between a snapshot and a photograph is where you take it. A snapshot of the Golden Gate Bridge is wonderful. But if you're a photographer, you get down on the side, you find a way to give it some lines and some movement, and that's the difference. I just wanted to put this on your radar. If you didn't know this side of Kenny Rogers, you really need to do yourself a favor. Look him up. Look at some of his images. And if you ever get to see a show live, at a museum, I highly recommend it. This guy really knew his stuff. He was a terrific musician, but he was also a terrific photographer. I have one update about the workshop season. I've been in contact with the folks at the Redwood Riverwalk Hotel, which is the site for our Humboldt Redwoods workshop. And I talked with them, and they said the good news was that they're open and they're hanging in there. And I was very happy to hear that. The challenging news for us is that at the moment, Humboldt County has it set up so that only residents, people who live in Humboldt County, can stay there at the hotel. People from outside the county are not allowed to stay at the hotel right now. And that will probably stay in force until the end of April. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to check in with the hotel later on this month, and we'll kind of get, what the final verdict is from the county. And then in the meantime, I'm going to be communicating with all the folks on the reservation list. I'll go over the options that you have, and I'm going to present some good ones to you. And then that way we all can kind of figure out what our next move is going to be. Now, we also have two other workshops scheduled for July and for October. I'm feeling a little bit more optimistic about those. If you're on either of those reserve lists, I'll be touching base with you as well. Maybe not in the next week or two, but before too long. And of course, if you want to know about those workshops, just go to thenimblephotographer.com. Click on the workshops link there, and you can check out both the summer and the fall workshop and see what's going on. Big thanks to everyone for their patience while we work through this. We will come out at a good place one way or another, I promise you. Just a bit more Virtual Camera Club business. First of all, big thanks to our Patreon members. At a time when I think a lot of patrons are seeing their numbers decline, our numbers have actually gone up thanks to you guys. I appreciate it. I've had some communication with some of you who have just signed up or have upped your pledge, and thankful to both of those scenarios, right? I just want to let our Patreon members know that you guys and gals mean a lot to me. If you're interested in becoming a member of our inner circle, all you have to do is click on the Patreon tile that's on every page of the Digital Story. Go over to our site, take a look, and see what you think. And maybe you can join our family of supporters. They mean a lot to this podcast. They mean a lot to our whole community. We have B&H and Amazon tiles on all the pages of the Digital Story. If you're going to do a little shopping at either of those places, if you come over to the site first, click on one of those tiles and then go over and do your shopping. I appreciate it. Those are affiliate links, and those help support the site. And a big thanks to B&H and Amazon for also being part of our Digital Story family. And finally, a huge thanks to our friends at Red River Paper, the longest running sponsor of the Digital Story. I've received some interesting notes from folks right now that they are using this time to do some printing, and I'm so excited about it because it just seems absolutely perfect. It seems like the perfect thing to do right now. If you're of a mind to fire up the inkjet printer and make some beautiful art, I would recommend going over to Red River Paper first. They have a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story. You can read up on some tutorials. If you want to do things such as fine art greeting cards and so forth, they have all that information there. Of course, they have all the supplies for you, everything that you need, in addition to reviews and it is printing central, right? They also have a terrific Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. And again, a big thanks to them for supporting this show. All right, that's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed the interview with Tom. I thought it was kind of fun. I stumbled across it the other day and I go, you know what? I bet your listeners would enjoy this. Working on some more fun stuff for next week. Until then, stay safe, have a great week, and I'll see you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.
And for those of you who are still listening, here's a little bonus. Talk about a blast from the past. Check out this intro from 2009.
Welcome to the Digital Story Show. New tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
October 27th, 2009. The Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, Adobe Lightroom 3 Beta. Welcome back to another Digital Story. I'm here in New York City, and sometimes you may even hear New York City in the background as I record this. I was here for Photo Plus Expo, a terrific show this year. I really enjoyed it, but there were some differences, and one of the major changes was that we didn't have as much software at the show. Apple did not have a booth. Adobe did not have a booth, but they did have some people here because they had a big announcement. Adobe Lightroom 3 Beta. And this is a pretty cool application. Now, you can download it free right now, test it out, give Adobe feedback, help them refine the application. Of course, when the beta period's over, so is the free ride, and then you're going to have to pony up and buy it. But in the meantime, there's lots to explore here. They've done a lot of work on the image processing, so we've seen changes in sharpening, in noise reduction, just the way they interpret the raw files in general. Lots of interesting stuff there. It really looks good on first look, and I haven't really had a chance to sink my teeth into it. But someone who has is Tom Hogarty, and he's a senior product manager in the professional digital imaging area of Adobe. We know him as the spokesperson and the head honcho on the Lightroom project. And Tom was actually here in New York City. So he and I sat down and we talked a little bit about this application. I wanted to find out what some of his favorite things were. And of course, Tom had some really great things to say. So I'm going to turn it over to Tom right now. We'll chat it up a little bit. We found the best spot that we could find. Can't find really a quiet spot here in Manhattan, but we found a pretty good spot. We've talked about Lightroom 3. After that, I'll come back and we'll take care of some virtual.